One other thing, we jump back on because we're still with John, and I just want, maybe we could just, this could just be like a little sub, like maybe like a, I don't know, 5 minute thing, a little 10 minute thing. Do you get the feeling that market researchers and data analysis and people trying to sell to us, since we were talking about KISS, keep it simple, stupid.
Yep.
Do you ever get the feeling that maybe these marketing people and research analysts and people that are throwing, I'm coming around to Gartner because they've come up with this term hype cycle, which is very good. They did very good there. They're knocking it out of the park with the term hype cycle. I feel like it feels more organic. It just feels more homey, feels less real rigid, you know. But do you get the feeling that maybe a product or someone that's trying to get you to be involved in something purposely overcomplicates it and makes it seem like rocket science? And the reason why I ask this is because I'm looking at while we are talking, I said, you know what's funny is, has anyone ever, we were talking about the value of IT, how you increase the value of IT. And it's basically, I mean, we could build our own calculator, which surprisingly enough, when I searched it, none came up except for like a couple from big research.
Great
firms.
Idea.
From yeah. big research firms. I'm not going to name them. Right. Yeah. But basically we talk about 90-day goals. You just got done talking about, you know, the 1 year, you know, you have a 1 year wildly important goal, right? But in reality, we kind of do these 2 week sprints, whether we want to call it agile, which to me is common sense. And we break things down into like, you know, 90 day goals, which makes sense.
Exactly. Yep.
And then we should have some kind of decision matrix where we say, should we do this project? How many people is it going to involve? How expensive is it going to be? How much is it going to move the bar? And then we have a list of all these different, you know, a potential projects that we could do. And then we kind of weigh them based on the biggest bang for the buck and the amount of time it's going to waste and all that type of stuff. Right. And then it basically comes down to the end of the day of like, did this grow revenue? Did this save us money? Did this make us more efficient? So you could break it down into a pretty simple calculator.
Right.
I looked up this calculator, which came from a research institution, which wants you to, you know, I don't know, whatever, buy their documents and slicks and all of these things that we could probably find on Reddit or Google better or YouTube. It's literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tabs. And it's pretty crazy. And I would say it could be called maybe a scale, or another word for a scale, value calculator. Okay.
Sure.
And we've got matrix and improved capabilities and financial benefits and improved efficiencies and in setups and user stories and task activities and stakeholder requirements and ideas and business requirements and definitions of values and all these different types of criteria, which might be good. And I think, you know what, I might take this and I might have a developer throw this into an, I might actually, this might be this might be an AI thing. This might actually be something that we could apply to AI very easily when I look at this. In fact, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Do you have the feeling that we overcomplicate things when in reality, good businesses make decisions somewhat fast and nimble with good intuition, but also numbers? We got to make decisions.
Yeah. I mean, what you're getting into a lot is kind of budgeting. So one of the facets of being a leader is how to properly budget and how to show that what you are calculating is actually, you know, having a return on value, right? Return on investment. And so unfortunately, budgeting can be rather simple, but it can also get into a realm of complexity.
It all
depends on the business, right? You know, unfortunately, I would say more often than not, I've seen budgeting be a quite complex process, right? And this obviously depends on your, you know, your top executive leaders, because they really drive
relationship with the CFO.
Yeah, relationship with the CFO, and they really drive that budgeting process. And by no means would I say that our process is that complicated, but it can be. I've worked for much larger organizations where it is, and I've worked for small organizations where it can be complicated. But here's the thing.
If we've
It's
got
all
a
data.
hundred,
It's all data analysis in the end, right?
would you say, but no, here's the thing though, would you say that you have at least, I would say the average organization has anywhere between 120 to 160 applications. If you start counting, it gets quite significant.
Oh yeah, it can
Would you
get
say you have
crazy.
at least 50 applications?
Yes.
You know,
We have too many, right?
are we really going to go through this decision process every time we need to pick an application? Probably not. And that's back to the shiny object syndrome. So I don't know. I guess my point is sometimes we go to, here's my imagination. We go to a security conference. There's a guy that gets up on stage. He's going to speak about security. And it is so over the top of even the smartest people sitting in the audience on purpose. And then it's like, and I developed this, and I did this, and no one cares. What we care is, can you make us safer? Can you protect this? Right.
Sure, most people are leading that way. That's kind of leading by emotion, right? Like it's what is the emotion that you get out of it. It if it makes you safer, then that's, kind of boiling it down to the root of what it's doing.
So, and what my point is though is like, if it makes you scared and more, and it seems more complicated than anyone could ever do, well, we've got to hire this guy because it's so freaking complicated. You get
I think there's a value in simplicity, though.
it? Well, that's my point. My point is like, I have a feeling that sometimes people overcomplicate things and overwhelm, and that we should be skeptical of.
Yes. Look, there are brilliant minds, brilliant engineers, brilliant presenters that blow my mind every day. But one of the smartest things you can do is communicate effectively. And if what you are presenting is too complicated for your audience or your average audience, then you're not doing it right. I had an early boss that used to tell me the way I was presenting was too technical and I needed to know my audience.
Love it. Great advice.
And it was some of the best advice I ever got. It really helped me be a better presenter, and really boiled down to what is the message I'm trying to convey. Get out of the weeds, get out of the nitty-gritty detail, and what is the ultimate message I'm trying to deliver? Boil down your presentation to the message. And so over time, I really learned to do that, and that really was like my that was a key ticket of kind of going from just somebody who only knew, because I can get extremely technical. Like if we need to, like
No, you'll make me look
I've
stupid, so please don't do that. You'll make me
yeah,
look real dumb.
I've walked the walk and talked the talk, right? But I also recognize that I'm not, 22 anymore, right? I'm getting a bit older, and I can recognize hiring
COBOL.
extremely talented programmers and
Yep.
extremely talented network engineers, or people that are much older than me that have just focused on that, and they are just the ultimate expert in that realm, and I can't even touch them,
Why don't we
right?
put together the dream team? Let's put together a dream
So
team and do
I'm
something
smart
great.
enough to hire people that are smarter than me, right? That's you
Yeah.
should never be afraid of that. But if you're buying a product or a service, the way that you're going to more effectively sell that product or service is by boiling it down to that key emotion. Like Phil said really well. He said, like, don't overwhelm them with all the technical jargon of why your solution is better. Sell them a solution that solves a particular problem or provides them with a particular emotion. Like that's kind of one of the number one things of sales. And I'm not a great salesperson. I don't sell for a living, but I sell internally to my internal customer. And the one thing I can tell you is your solution should be solving a problem that the people have with their process. And if you can do that effectively, that is how you're going to win the hearts and minds of those people.
I would
So when I see a
disagree.
presentation that's too complicated, I think it's not going to sell. But you disagree? I want
Yeah,
to
I'm
hear it.
gonna no, no, I'm gonna
Yeah.
disagree with you because I think you're a great salesman.
Thank you. I
I'm gonna
appreciate that.
disagree right there, and everybody's in sales.
Yeah.
They just don't realize
I
it.
thought you were going to disagree on the point I was making, and I was going
Everybody's
to
in
be like, I would
sales.
love to hear it. No,
What do
everybody's
you
in sales in
mean?
some way. Yeah, what do you mean? Like, I could hear Phil making the argument of like why you should make your presentation more complicated. Why you should just, go over people's minds and they don't grasp what you're trying to do.
Listen up, you morons. If you don't look, trust me, this is way above you. I could sit here and start presenting, or you could just say it, but I promise you it's going to be glaze you over right now.
Yeah, so
Look.
I was interested in Phil's company because, they do a lot in like telecom services, and I found out that they were doing this podcast. I listened to some of his podcasts, which I kind of tend to read at night, or I sometimes listen to podcasts before going to bed, right? Kind of I've put the kids to bed. My wife and I are both tired and we're kind of done for the evening, right? And it's the middle of the week, right? It's not date night or anything like that. And so I'll be like,
I
you know
like how
what?
you sold that. I like how you sold
Yeah. I'm
that.
just like, you know what? My mind is, I'm not fully asleep yet. And I need something that'll kind of,
That'll put me to sleep.
that'll put me to sleep. No, but
So I
I
just
need
tune
something
into Dissecting
that'll
Your Popcorn
entertain
on
my mind a
TuneIn.
little bit and that'll kind of give me something like final, think about. And then sometimes, like what I've heard, I think about like on the drive into the office the next day, or sometimes I listen to a podcast on the drive in,
I like
right?
that.
That's another way.
I like that I'm the
Or
last thing you think about before going to bed.
Well, or on the drive in, right? Or I
And the
listen
first
to an
thing you think about upon
audiobook.
waking up.
Right. Exactly. Good sell. I probably lost myself there, but my
No, you were
thought
saying something
was,
about my company being my company or something, but be honest with you. Here's the dream for me. The
yeah.
dream for me is just this. I just
Yeah.
want to facilitate IT leaders. Yes, I've been in the consulting space for a long time. Yes, I've been in telecom and data and networking and in co-location and all of the WAN stuff
Ah.
and SASE and all that stuff
Yeah.
for 20 years, right? Yes, I've been in
Yeah.
that, right?
Yeah.
But it's not really like, I don't know, sexy. It's not like people don't look forward to like, oh, I've got to make this, I got to do this. I really look forward to calling Phil on this. No.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's kind of like, I got to be like, you really got to be kind of always, I don't know, always up in people's grills to really be like this kind of like really successful consultant all the time. And what I really love is just putting great minds together. So
Absolutely.
thanks for, thank you
Phil,
for whatever you were going to
yeah.
say,
Yeah, Phil, I got it. I got it. Let me jump in here. So suddenly the name is evading me. Inky.
Yes.
So you had Inky on, right?
Yep.
And here was the thing that I really loved about Inky that he did an extremely effective job of when he built this company and this product. Shout out to Inky.
Yep.
I have it, here was the thing. He focused on the end user and the customer experience. And the way that they displayed the screens, that made it a lot easier for my end user to understand that this is a potential phishing email, or this is, we've kind of why we've classified this as gray mail, or why, this is suspect because even though it says the CEO's name, it came from outside of our organization. Okay, these are things that we have been trying to preach in, security meetings that we hold internally within the company, all the time, right? Or little videos or emails we circulate, that says like, hey, here's an example of a phishing email and why it's suspect. That our current vendor just doesn't do a good job of. Our current vendor, in a lot of ways, blocks a ton of phishing and spam emails, right? They do a good job of that. I'm not knocking their ability to do that, but always something gets through. And so, inevitable, or something gets blocked that shouldn't have gone blocked. And so, what like Fishy was doing, or Inky,
Inky.
sorry, was doing really, really well was they were displaying it for the end user to see in a clear way. They were making their interface simpler for the end user than
And
other
who?
solutions that I saw. And the end user is not IT. The end user is the everyday person, the AP clerk that got that suspicious email that's like, hey, I'm the CEO and I'm in the boardroom and I don't have access to my phone right now and I don't want to be disturbed, but I really need to pay this invoice immediately. You know, the typical scammy, fishy email, right?
And it's
And
coming from Bank of Arnerica, which was the example that he
yeah,
used to demo. And
exactly, right?
and who better
And
to
it
do it
was,
though? Like, who better to do it? It's Dave Baggett, by the way, founder and CEO, and props to him. You know, we're talking super nerd, MIT graduate, built with his friends Crash Bandicoot,
as
right?
technical as you get,
Yeah,
right?
crash build Crash Bandicoot like for fun, like you know, like in college or whatever, you know, if I'm remembering the story correctly, right? Work and then got flown out to California on like the on you know, whatever Universal and with you know, driving George Lucas's like you know, golf cart around making video games and stuff. Who better to understand an end user than a guy that built a PlayStation game and can gamification something and make something fun and cool, you know, and really make something so bland as email phishing, which no one, which everyone, why your weakest link is your end users. The you know, out of every company, there's at least a handful of people that could care less, you know, click on anything, right? So why
And
not make
look,
it fun?
there are a lot of great companies that focus on training, like KnowBe4. I mean, that's also something Inky does, but like there are a lot of great companies that focus on training, and training is great. But you know, I think what they did was they built, this guy is a brilliant mind, right? He built Crash Bandicoot, amazing programmer. But the thing is, he didn't focus on let's make it like let's sell them on how complicated this is and the algorithms are better than anybody else's algorithm. No, he focused on the user experience. And to me, you have to have great software that focuses on the user experience, right? This is why like Salesforce is successful. Like Salesforce's CRM is not the most full-featured CRM. There are a lot of CRMs out there that are more, that have better certain features that are better, but they really focus on keeping it as simple as possible and making the user experience simple, right? HubSpot is another great CRM. You know, Microsoft makes a great CRM product, just shouting out at other couple names. Their focus on why their software works and sells is because they're designing it in a way that the user experience is a better experience. They're removing some of the unnecessary clutter in a way. Look, I'm just like everybody, a lot of IT people that are like, don't take my control panel away from me. I love control panel, but you know, we are the super nerds, and we have to understand that there are a lot of people that just need to find the settings in an easier way by presenting them with less options. And unfortunately, that's the reality of how the world works. Most people are not going to study the end user interface the way that we will, right, as IT nerds. And so keep it simple, design your products and services in a way where people understand them. If you're an internal IT team, make your presentations in a way that your audience will get, you know, the 1, 2, 3 punch that they need to understand, and don't give them 20 things that they need to remember walking away. Give them 3 things that they should get from your presentation.
Love it. And the soundbite was The soundbite was brought to you by Inky and Dave Baggett, who was a part of the team of Crash Bandicoot. Thank you so much. Awesome.